Choirs has tempted me this morning to sing, but I do not want to take away, or I would have to be able to match what they just did. And because I cannot match what they just did, I'm just going to say, praise the Lord. Amen. You know, as I listen to the choir, Sister Altia, as I listen to the choir, we haven't seen our full potential yet. And I believe once we have catch a vision, Ella Clark, of what praise and worship is about, then I believe our life and our outlook and even worship will be different. But we just want to magnify that name. That name that is above every name. The name of Jesus Christ. May his name be forever praised. You know, there is always a Kevin story. And as it relates to the sermon this morning, there are three vignettes or stories that prompt me to this moment or this message. One last week, our first elder preached. And it was a fitting message for the new year, and it might be the message for the year. He really gave it to us because we deserve it, and he really called us up higher to better Christian living, and we appreciate that. And as pastors, we need to hear sermons like that, which challenge us because iron sharpened iron. What do you say? And then on Monday, all the pastors and teachers gathered, and we had Dr. Pollard from the General Conference. And his focus was on Daniel 2 and Revelation 13 as he challenged the pastors to preach prophecy and end time message as a church not to be afraid. And then the last was on Wednesday. I was talking to one of my aunt. I've really been in a sulking mood, Sister Nikisha, for a couple months. And you know, sometimes you are in that mood, you just don't want to get out. You just want to be stayed buried for a season. And so I haven't been on the phone much. I have just take some time off, and I'm talking to my aunt. I broke out of the season, and I'm talking to her, and she said something that triggered me. And this is where the message comes in today. We were talking about somebody, not gossiping about somebody. But the person is a born-again Christian. And the person said some nasty words, some violent words, wishing someone dead. And that's what brought me to Daniel 2:44. Because I'm well aware, Elder Collis, that the disease in the world, the disease that we see, the violence that we see in each kingdom taking over or succeeding each kingdom by violence, I'm reminded that there is a kingdom that God has set up. One that is not perpetuated by violence, but by love. And so Luke ably read the text for us this morning. I'm going to ask you to pray with me as I attempt to bring the message this morning. Unshakable focus in a shaking world. Please stand with me as I read from the New King James Version. The word today. And in the days of these kings, and in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Pray with me, Father. Take my lips and let them move at the impulse of thy divine will. Have thine own way in thy waiting congregation, we pray. May your name be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. In the poetic words of Reverend Cleveland A. Cox, a Presbyterian minister in the mid-18th century to early 19th century, I borrow these words. We are living. We are dwelling in a grand and awful time. You can finish it. This week, as we look at, for example, the murder in Minnesota, and I call it a murder, we agree with Reverend Cox that we are living and dwelling in a grand and awful time. As we look at, for example, the capture of the president of Venezuela by our not so clean 34 president, felony. I'm taken to this text, Daniel 2:44. king of Babylon thought he was the man, and that his kingdom was it. And if he had the power, he would rule the world until Jesus came. Well, Jesus wasn't in his thought, but he would rule the world until there is no world. And God gave him a dream one night that troubled him. Going through Daniel 2 now, gave him a dream that troubled him. He was so troubled, he called all his wise men together. And when he called them together, he said, "Listen, I had a dream and I have a problem. I need for you to tell me what I dreamt. And I also need the interpretation." The men said, "Mr. President, Mr. King, or Dr. King, there is no man on earth that is able to tell you what you dreamt unless his spirit is with the God." He said, I'm just paraphrasing now. He said, "I've questioned some of your interpretations. I had a feeling something is in something. But if you cannot tell me my dream and the interpretation thereof, I'm going to kill all of you." This man was worse than Trump. I'm an immigrant, so I can speak like that. For you Americans who are born here, God bless you. And so the word got out that these wise men are on death notice. And the good thing is, Daniel wasn't there, but he heard about it, reached out. I love how Daniel operates. Daniel is unlike me. I've put my foot in my mouth so many times. So many times I've made promises that I have no idea how I'm gonna fulfill it. And praise the Lord, God always come through. But here it is, Daniel heard, and Daniel said message and said, "Listen, give me a few days, because there is a God. There is a God who created this world, and there is a God who has interest in men, in the world, and he is able." And so Daniel let it be known that it's not coming from him, but from the God that is above. And finally, Daniel was able to give tell the king what he dreamt. This image in his night vision, God gave him a preview of the kingdoms of this world from the beginning until the end, from the first kingdom, which is Babylon, from 605 BC all the way to the other succeeding kingdoms to the coming of Jesus Christ. He said, "You, O king, art the head of gold. But after you, there is coming another kingdom, which represents silver. And after that, there'll be another kingdom which represents brass. And after that, there'll be another kingdom of iron. And then when we got to the toes, that after that kingdom, you'll have the toes, which is partly iron and partly clay, which means partly strong and partly weak. You and I know that Babylon was succeeded by Media Persia, which is silver. After Media Persia, we had Greece with its great king, Alexander. And after Greece, we have Rome, Iron Rome. And then the divided kingdoms, the kingdoms of Europe, which came down and destroyed Rome. Bite at her piece by piece from different angles, these Germanic tribes from the north. And so each kingdom in Daniel 2 succeeded each other by violence. The Bible says that in the midst of these kings or kingdoms, that God will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. I'd like to talk about that kingdom this morning. You see, sometimes, Elder, we come to church and we do not know what's in our hands. Sometimes our worship is weak, and I'm the chief culprit. Sometimes our praise is someone says fenke. Sometimes our praise is based on our emotion or what we're going through at the time. But if we could take the Apostle Paul's words, where we praise him in every situation, whether we are up or whether we are down, we can find reason to praise God this morning, because we are a part of that kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Why? Because it wasn't created by violence, and it will not be ended by violence. It's nurtured by love, the love of Jesus Christ. And so I can see, as Christ stood before his executioners, and Pilate asks, "Are you a king?" And he said, "You have said, but my kingdom is not of this world." In other words, I'm not a threat to Rome. I'm not a threat to Greece. I'm not a threat to America. Yet, Christ was crucified because he was a threat in the church. I'm wrestling with this thing, this word, violence. Jacob said about his two sons, Levi and Simeon, when they raped their sister in Shechem and they They went down to Shechem and gathered and circumcised the men of Shechem and then just killed them. Jacob said, these two men have made him stink among the nation. Well, these two men, who are they? These are the religious leaders in Israel. Don't mess with us. We have violence in our bones. And we can see it as it relates to the death of Jesus Christ. Why am I saying this, Pastor? As a church, we have to check ourselves every now and again and make sure that we are in Christ. Paul says, I die daily. He's not leaving anything to chance. Sometimes we pat ourselves on the back too quickly. Sometimes we rejoice too quickly because this is not it. You and I belongs to a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Daniel 2 speaks about how this thing will come to an end. It talks about a stone cut out of the mountain without hands and strike this image at the feet. In other words, you and I are living in the days of the feet. The divided kingdoms of Europe. We are living in the last days. And one of these days, in the midst of our worlds, rallying and jockeying for earthly power and status and oil, God forbid if they discover oil in Jamaica tomorrow, I know Trump will be down there because he's that greedy. He's that criminal. Bible says in the midst of these kings, God will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. My question today, are we a part of that kingdom today? Are we a part of that kingdom today? I believe more should be in the church where it's just a few. You know, sometimes our attitude repels persons. Our attitude repels persons, and Christ must be grieved. We have a lot to pray for and to confess for and to pray for and to plead for. But as we watch these kings and these kingdoms capturing territory and fighting for power and dominance, there is a spirit. There is a power. The power of love. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved you and I that he refused to watch us be ruined by the disease of sin. He gave up his glory, gave up his crown above, and came down so that you and I can one day walk on streets of gold. In the midst of this shaky world, Shaky because it is destined to destruction. Shaky because it's not lasting. Shaky because it's temporary. Everything we do is just or 15 minutes of whatever, 15 minutes of fame. It is not lasting. But as Christ stood before his executioners and gave them a glimpse of what is to come, reminding them that there is coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Bible says it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. I'll tell you what that does not mean. It does not mean as a church we should go attacking every state office. We're not like the January Sixers, if that's such a name. We don't attack parliaments and capitals when we don't get our way. The Bible says God sets up kings and he what? Takes them down. Sometimes we vote and we think that we put them up. But if God wants them there, leave them there. And the truth is, some of us wouldn't want to be there because I don't know what people do to get where they're going. What palm they have to wet, what promises they have to make. It must be a frightening and challenging situation to be in. And therefore, the Bible encourages us to pray for our leaders. Pray for our leaders, those in the world, those in the church. Pray for our leaders. It must not be easy. We live, it does not mean that it shall break. When it says it shall break, it doesn't mean as Christians we will be breaking kingdoms around. No, that's not our duty. The Bible says that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it smashed the image at the feet. In other words, that's the second coming of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus comes, he'll find two classes of people. You're either wicked or saved. You're either wicked or saved. The Bible says that at the second coming of Jesus Christ, you'll have the wicked who are dead and the wicked who are alive. You'll have the saved who are dead and the saved that are alive. And when he bursts the eastern sky, the brightness of his coming will slay the wicked that are alive and simultaneously raise the righteous that are dead. And so the righteous that are dead will raise and join the righteous that are alive. Because one group will not go ahead of the other. And the Bible says they will be caught up and be with the Lord. You and I belong to something that is permanent. And therefore, we have reason to rejoice. You and I belongs to something that, yes, we are not, this is not a weak kingdom. because we're not violent. And as a church, we do not force people to join the church. We don't beat them over the head. Because it is by love. You have to see the love of God in order to be a part of this kingdom. And finally, I'd like to say that this church militant, this church that is preaching and evangelizing, this church that is promoting and doing our stuff will one day be the church triumphant. That's where you and I need to be. We don't need to celebrate too early, but we need to make sure that we are a part of that number when the saints go marching in. I tell you, I was disturbed by that conversation this week. That comment by the member wishing somebody dead. You know, we can be pretty violent as a people, right? While I was in Jamaica, and you listened to while I was there, but one of the reasons why the young elder called me is because I preach short. So I just put up the thing but let me say this. I came from a community elder, and you know it, during the 80s, I've seen a lot of violence. And I must say that even now and again, Brother Elder Troy, I can see some of the violence in the church. People will do anything to maintain office. People will say anything to tear down. And at the same time, not knowing that we're tearing down the church of God, the kingdom of God. We need to be careful. We need to make sure that the disease in the world do not enter the church. We need to make sure that the disease in the church, the disease in the world do not enter into the church. We serve a God that is able to take us through anything and everything that the church faces. We just need to trust in Him. We just need to trust Him. And so I'm encouraged this morning. Elder, you lit a fire last week, and I'm just fanning the flame. May God help us as a people. What we do is not in vain. And what we do is not for praise, not for show, not for fashion, not for a pat on the back. We get the pat on the back when we enter. When we enter through that gate, we hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And you know, sometimes there are individuals who have served in the background. We do not see them. But they are faithful little God's angel doing His work. And one day, they will get their reward. I say to us this morning, live for that commendation. Live for that commendation. And may God help us to walk through those gates. Walk through those gates together. Walk through those gates together.